With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast,
Juniors,
be tuned. Season 3, episode 17 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson here, as well as Chase Crawshaw. Chase, how you doing?
Juniors.
We got your name correct this time.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and I got to say that these intros just keep getting better and better.
They really are just electric, but I'm doing pretty good today. Just good day. I don't know. I got no issues. I didn't sleep a lot, but it didn't, you know, take from the fact that I was pretty busy today, but got a lot of stuff done. Love being productive. Makes you feel good at the end of the day. And we get to wind it down with the podcast a day earlier than normal because we got a sporting event to go to tomorrow, but all that combines for one great day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just have one thing on my mind, and only one thing on my mind, and it came up last night at 2 a.m. I was scrolling through YouTube, and of course, you've got people that are in the woods just making houses. So I'm just like, man, I kind of want to try that. Like, I've always loved woodshop. We're in woodshop together. We've made stuff, like bago boards and some Adirondack chairs and a bunch of other stuff. And I'm just thinking, could I build a cabin in the woods?
No.
I think I could.
No. The shit these guys do too, I think they're like in South America or something like that.
Well, there's a bunch. I was watching one in Canada. One was in the north Midwest.
Oh, so these aren't the guys that just carve into the fucking ground and shit?
Yeah, those guys are
you can't
legit.
Do what they do. Yeah, no. But, I definitely couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. But that does actually remind me of a slightly off topic, but kind of on topic, just for just building crazy things.
Uh-huh.
So I was scrolling through TikTok. I don't know if you remember last year when people were wrapping up Christmas presents as something that they weren't. So, like, a book would be wrapped up as, like, a bottle of alcohol, for example. I think I'm going to take a stab at that this year.
Yeah,
I saw one where this guy literally got it was an iPhone case, just a little wee guy, and wrapped it up as a 10-foot ladder.
Oh,
that would be awesome. That would be hilarious.
How do you even do that? Is it just all wrapping paper except for that, or do they have like cardboard?
I gotta assume it's cardboard and stuff as well.
Yeah,
because like there's no way that's just wrapping paper.
I'm gonna be honest. I can build a cabin before I can build something like that.
I got to look up YouTube videos because I'm definitely doing it for my family stuff. And if we do any stupid thing, like I'm going to have my Christmas party. If we do like a white elephant, I'm going to do something like that too.
Do you know what day you're doing your thing yet?
It'll probably be like, it'll be during the week of like Christmas. Like it'll be like one on a weekday.
Okay. Because I got plans for the 26th now.
Sick invite.
Freaking Hannah's birthday.
Sick invite, Hannah.
When's the last time she saw you?
Like 5 days ago?
I saw her Sunday. Okay. And she brought it up then.
I saw you invited. It's okay.
We'll just have you over John's place soon, and she'll be there, and then it'll be like a have-to type thing.
Yeah, but like, oh, now I have to invite him. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, on today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, going to be looking at the game preview. We got three games to preview today. Again, another big day of games to preview. We can't really review the St. Louis game because it is currently ongoing. Like Jay said, we're recording a little bit earlier, so we'll do that before the commercial break. At the end, or on the other side of the commercial break, I should say, we're going to be talking about Jack Hughes getting a big contract extension, looking at a recent fine to the Carolina Hurricanes head coach, Rod the Bod, and then looking at that preliminary camp roster for the U.S. But first, let's go over to Tampa. We got some big news as Gabriel Fortier made his debut tonight against the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, so he recently gets called up. As we're talking, he's playing in the game. No updates on any points or anything for him, but yeah, it's cool for him. He's a young player who is really, finding his stride in the last like couple seasons, last two seasons really as a prospect, and is becoming, somewhat of a solid NHL looking prospect. Now he's getting an opportunity. Hopefully takes advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. We love to see the young guys come up and contribute. Let's go over to the game now. Currently, 2 minutes left in the first, at least on my screen. Maybe yours has updated a little bit sooner. But right now, Tampa up 3-0. However, they are on the PK as of this moment.
I am at 28 seconds left in the period.
All right, good.
I'm looking to see what Gabriel Fortier has done. He has played 2 minutes and 56 seconds. That is not last on the team.
Oh.
Callan Foote is not playing a lot right now. Shocker.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be locked in as a depth defenseman his whole career.
It's definitely been a tough development curve for Callan Foote. Do we see Sean Day in the lineup?
I hope so. Like, not right now, but like I hope we do eventually.
You know, he got called up for a reason. Might as well use him.
Yeah, but we do got to say, don't almost forgot, Steven Stamkos is a last-second scratch in this game. He's going back home to Tampa because his wife has given birth. So, you know, big congrats out to that. That's a whole special occasion, their second child.
Absolutely. Fatherhood is great, like the greatest thing of all time. I don't really know. There's probably some phrase out there, some quote that talks about fatherhood being like the best thing ever, but... You know, not a father over here. Close for you, but not the case.
Close for me? I don't think so.
Well, when are you popping the question? I thought it was soon.
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's now move on. Let's talk about Thursday's game. This is against the Blues. You know, we're playing them right now and up big. We assume that this game will probably end in Tampa's favor. I would have to assume the same thing's going to happen on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can hope for. I mean, the way things are looking now, sometimes things can change over, you know, just a couple of days. But I think I think we should be fine as well. I think we'll all work out just fine.
And we talked about how St. Louis, they're performing a little bit better than what we expected early on in the season. But as of recent, they've slowed down a little bit. It looks like that's going to continue here with the game on Tuesday against our Tampa Bay Lightning. So hopefully we can keep that rolling, keep up our momentum, slow down theirs as we continue into the Thursday game.
Word.
Looking at the game on Saturday, December 4th. I won't be able to watch this one. I got a party up at Michigan State celebrating my cousin's birthday.
Even sicker invite.
You can come.
She didn't invite me.
That's true.
I don't want to go.
Oh, okay.
You hear that, Riley?
She's not listening. Saturday night game against the Boston Bruins. This should be a good game. The Boston Bruins are a good team, currently sitting at 11-7-0. Surprised they don't have an overtime loss yet. It's through 18 games, you would figure there'd be something like that. Not the case so far. But again, when I'm looking at it, they might have the better power play, but everything else goes to the advantage of us, and I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I'm going to take us as well in this bad boy. You know, it'll be the third game in 5 days, the fourth game in seven, the fifth game in nine, and then there'll be another game the day after. So we've got, you know, a good stretch of games here that are kind of, you know, piled on. So wear and tear might have an effect as we're getting, you know, closer to the end of this. Like, even next week, we're playing every other day. So, you know, we could start maybe seeing some things slow down here and maybe go on a bit of a skid. Hopefully that's not the case, but I do think that we are the better team in this matchup as long as everything plays out.
Here's a question for you. As we continue to play a lot of games in a short period of time here, who do you assume gets the start on Saturday against the Bruins? We have a game the day after on Sunday, December 5th against the Flyers. Are we thinking Vasilevsky gets the start against the Bruins, or are we going to keep him out until the Philly game?
Well, I think he's in a role because, you know, Brian Elliott's in the night. So I think Vasilevsky is going to take St. Louis, Boston, and Philly, and then Elliott will be back in Montreal.
Okay. A big stretch for him.
Yeah.
Three games in 4 days there. That'd be hopeful.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit much, but if there's a goalie that can do it, it's Andrei Vasilevsky.
Absolutely. Well, we mentioned that game against the Flyers. The Flyers currently sitting 8-8-4. They're going to be at a different record coming into this matchup. But when we're looking at the last 10, the Flyers have only won two of their last 10. They've got 6 losses in regulation, 2 in overtime. They're on a tough skid here. This is something Tampa absolutely should be able to take advantage of.
The Flyers are playing horrible in front of their goalies. Their goalies are playing really well. Both are over a .920 save percentage, but, you know, Carter Hart has a .267 goals against. Martin Jones has a .287. That means they're just getting literally zero help. They're getting peppered. And that's something Tampa needs to realize and take full advantage of. Get 40 shots in that in this game. you know, find two or three times to score in the back of the net and just play solid defensively, because Philly's not going to take, you know, advantage of too many opportunities. This is a game that really should honestly be an easy win.
We've had two games against them so far, and both have gone Tampa's way. I totally expect this one to be the exact same result. So that's it for our previews with the Tampa Bay Lightning. If we want to head over to standings real quick, see how everything's shaking up to this point, we've got our Tampa Bay Lightning sitting pretty nicely third in the Atlantic. And let's see, what would that be if I can math real quick?
You can do
sixth
it.
In the East overall.
Yeah, it's not too shabby, eh? I think we're okay being right there. We'd like to see them, you know, really put themselves into a next level, like, type of tier. But they're still, you know, not counting today's game. I guess we'll factor today's game into completed games. There's going to be another 61 games left in the year. There's plenty of time to, you know, really jump ahead in the standings.
Absolutely. And when you look at the last 10, this team has been one of the top five teams in the league, really playing hot right now, 7-2-1. The only teams currently above them, currently hotter than them, one being within their own division, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then the other as well being in the Eastern Conference, the Washington Capitals at 8-1-1. So really nice to see Tampa surging here, and hopefully that continues with these next three games we just previewed.
This is completely off topic. I just remembered and forgot about it. I wanted to bring up the Coyotes-Jets game from last night. Did you see the box score of that bad boy?
Nope.
Coyotes won 1-0. They got outshot 46-15.
Jeez, who was in that?
It was for that freaking Vezmelka kid who's just come out of nowhere and has legitimately been one of the better goalies in the league on a horrendous team. Like, he's got a .916 save percentage of 2 goals against on literally the worst roster assembled in the NHL in 20 years.
Yeesh.
Like he is playing lights out of nowhere. This team sucks. Winnipeg couldn't buy a goal. Love to see it. Love seeing that kind of shit.
Arizona no longer in last. No,
they're not.
Yeah, sorry. I still got it on the last 10. So they are actually in second to last. Ottawa, only 9 points so far. And remember when Ottawa made that trade a couple months ago where they went out and got, was it Sanford?
Yep.
And it was like, we're going to be a competitive team. And they come out, they're 4-14-1.
They're horrendous. They're terrible.
And it doesn't help that they don't have a goaltender. I mean, you thought they did with Matt Murray, but we talked about it last episode that
guy sucks.
Not the case.
That guy has been horrible.
All right, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. On the other side of the commercial break, like we said, going to be talking about Jack Hughes' new contract and, of course, the U.S. Preliminary World Juniors Camp roster. The NHL season is underway, and the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available yet in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for more details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings for sponsoring the show. Any of your betting needs that you need to do, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Chase, before we hop into some of the other stuff we need to talk about, I figured let's just go take a look at our poll real quick. 5 days left, so plenty of time to still vote if you haven't already. Go to at Bolts Broadcast on Twitter to go ahead and vote in that poll. Currently 20 votes right now, and the poll is, as discussed on the show, so this would be last show, we have a poll for everyone. Which of the following pops/sodas do you deem the worst of the group? We gave you orange, ginger ale, Sprite, and Dr. Pepper. As of right now, orange has a big lead as being the worst pop of the four.
Yeah, so right now, orange has 8 of the 20 votes. So those percentages work out. Don't understand, because ginger ale is actually the worst on this list, and orange is actually pretty solid. You know, ginger ale, Sprite, and then orange, Dr. Pepper are good pops, so they shouldn't even be on here. But people are disillusional, I guess.
I told you, like, Chase was not the biggest fan of this when I first brought it up, but I'm like, these are polarizing pops. If you think they're good, that's fine. But these are very polarizing sodas, so, you know, that's why we'll put them in there. And, yeah, both not the least voted for. Sprite is the least voted for. You and I both very much dislike Sprite.
Yeah, it's so heavily overrated. Like, it's the most overrated drink there is.
And I saw people saying that orange is for children. That's fair, but all these pops are for children in my mind.
Hey, orange is not for children. I drink orange still. Sometimes.
Like I said, orange is for children.
The hell out of here.
But hey, you're doing well today. You're drinking a Coke Zero. So, you know, Coke.
Not being a sponsor.
Coke being a lot better than orange, Dr. Pepper, Sprite, and ginger ale.
Coke Zero is fantastic. Not a sponsor. But if you haven't tried it yet, it is very good. I highly recommend.
But not a new sponsor.
But they're still not a sponsor.
Unless they want to be.
Then we can have some discussions.
Think about it.
Honestly, like, I don't know why they wouldn't think about it. We're the best.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brendan Lemieux. We talked about him in last episode, how he decided that he was going to either be a child and just try to, like, bite his mommy's finger or something. I don't know.
But it's mommy's finger.
Yeah, I don't know. Or B, he decided to just go full cannibalism and try to eat Brady Tkachuk. So we've got some news about his suspension.
5 games. I kind of thought it was going to be a few more, to be honest. Once I heard his in person, I thought he was going to be in like that 8 to 10 range, because who the hell bites someone? Like,
children?
Yeah.
Or cannibals?
That's definitely fair. A weird hey, move.
If Brendan Lemieux is doing this for children reasons, he's probably a big fan of orange soda.
Oh my God. Anyway, you know, Jonathan Quick was defending Brendan Lemieux, saying that I like having this guy as a teammate, blah, 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 because what are you going to do? You're not going to defend your teammate. So, you know, whatever. Who knows who's right, wrong, blah, 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 in terms of the stories that came out about him. Regardless, he gets a suspension. He's worthy of every game. You know, maybe he even deserves a couple more.
Absolutely. All right, Jack Hughes, he gets a big extension, 8 years. Pretty cheap, too.
Yeah, so an 8x8, which is a deal I am definitely in favor of for a guy like Jack Hughes. As in terms of the team, this is something you're kind of paying for the projection, but at the same time, Jack Hughes is the type of prospect that is, like, literally never missing it. And the history of, like, NHL analytics, I've talked about this before. He's in an elite group with the guys like Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby and how they're profiling, where he is just got to take that next final step to become a superstar, and then he's locked in as one of the best players in the league for the next 15, 20 years. And he's super close to being there. He was starting off that way this year. He was looking fantastic, got hurt. Finally, he's back tonight playing in some game action. So I think that you can look at his, like, production so far and be like, oh, wow, this is a lot of money. Because in all fairness, it kind of is based on how the rookie year went, and then last year was a little bit better. But for what he is going to do, I can almost guarantee for what he is going to do, being a point-per-game player more seasons than not, this is a steal.
So what you're saying is hit or miss, I guess he never misses, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
And then,
are we gonna? Can we just start recording our podcast and we do TikTok dances the whole time?
No.
Just do the Renegade.
No. I'll let you do that, and I'll just do, like, I'll sing the TikToks.
Oh, okay. So you'll just scream Renegade, Renegade.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Right now, I'm looking at the New Jersey game. Currently, 4-0 in favor of the San Jose Sharks. Jack Hughes, 11 minutes, 15 seconds, only one shot. So he's being limited right now, but. Absolutely agree with Chase here. This is a guy who's going to be worth the money down the line. So let's now go to Jake DeBrusque. Jake DeBrusque, he's been around for a little bit. He's probably, what, 24, 25 years old now, something like that?
25.
And he has recently requested a trade.
Yeah, so this one kind of came out of nowhere. You know, I randomly saw this one on Twitter today. I don't know when it happened, but yeah, he went to the Boston Bruins staff and said, hey, this isn't working out. I want to trade. And it kind of isn't working out. He's not playing a lot of minutes. Or if he is, he's not very impactful. He showed some signs of possibly being an impact player in his NHL career, but has never really like taken, you know, the full steps. Last year is a pretty heavy regression. I think he's a good player to have on your team, but like, he's not a special player by any means. He's just someone good enough on it. He's on an expiring contract where he's going to make less on his next contract than what he's currently making at 3.675. He's just kind of more a middle six guy who can maybe provide some offense. Like, that's all he's like turned into. Maybe go somewhere else and have some different luck. You know, that's kind of what he's hoping for with this trade, but he was not the right pick back there in 2015.
Yeah, you bring that up. They had three picks in a row where they went him, Zboril, and Seneshin. None of them really panning out. The picks right after, you had Matt Barzal, Thomas Chabot, and Kyle Connor. So
you had literally superstar, superstar, superstar.
So kind of a whiff there by the Boston Bruins.
And you could even like obviously, you know, those next three picks, just like some of the names after that. Joel Eriksson-Ek is, you know, he's quickly becoming one of the best two-way players in the game. Ilya Samsonov is playing fantastic this year. Brock Besser, Travis Konechny, even Jack Roslovic, Anthony Beauvillier, like just some of those names just in the first round that went. Like it hurts knowing that Zach Senishin's played in 14 career games and might not play in any more than that.
Yeah. Thank gosh, not a Boston podcast. Thank gosh, not a Boston fan. I'd always actually despise Boston a little bit.
Word.
So, you know, with the whiffs that they had, it doesn't bother me. So
that's fair.
Next up, let's talk about the, what is it, reigning coach of the year? That would be Ron Brindamore.
Yeah.
He recently got fined $25,000. Kind of a big chunk of change.
Did you watch the video I sent you or no?
I did. For nothing.
Like how's that a $25,000 fine, but like, guys slamming heads into boards are $5,000 fines on the ice. Our coach is yelling at a ref just because you get your feelings hurt, oh, you baby, that you have to go and make this guy fine $25,000. What a fucking joke.
Like, he just stood behind the bench the whole time. So they have, like, that little ledge that coaches usually sit on top of.
Yep.
He came down from that but was still behind the actual bench where the players sit. He didn't even get in front of that and, like, towards the actual boards. He just stood behind there and said some words.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It just blows my mind how soft it is. And you know, any other team than Carolina, I think, would pay for that fine. I Tom Dundon's too cheap. I think he's going to pay for the fine himself. So stupid. But like, if John Cooper were to do that, like, that fine would be paid immediately by ownership. Like, not even a thought.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what Ron Brindamore's contract is. I don't know how much he's making, but I'm sure he's got plenty of money. The 25 isn't too big of a deal.
Oh,
but
it's not hurting his pockets. It's just still stupid.
Yeah, but at the same time, 25K compared to a coach's salary and 5K compared to a, you know, multimillionaire player's salary, a little bit different there.
Yeah.
But let's now go over and talk about World Juniors. The U.S., they've been pretty good in World Juniors, especially last year, you know, spanking Canada. What was it, 1-0 or 2-0 in the gold medal game to win it? And we've got a announcement for the 2022 World Junior Camp roster right now. Let's look over it. There's a couple guys here that we obviously know. Matty Beniers, he's coming back. We've got Brock Faber coming back and some others. But what do you think about the roster in general?
So, if I'm not mistaken, they go 12, 8, and 3 usually. I think they can carry 25. Maybe they can carry 26. Maybe they go 13, 8, and 3, whatever it is. But so based on the guys here on this list, there's not going to be a ton of cuts, but there's going to be a few. Some of the return games, I'll just read them all off real quick. Brock Faber, Tyler Cleven, Jake Sanderson, Matthew Beniers, Brett Berard, Landon Slager, all those guys are going to be back on the team. That's a lock. And then you look at, you know, names like Luke Hughes, Scott Morrow, Sean Behrens, Logan Cooley is a draft eligible, Matthew Coronado, Chaz Lucius, Carter Mazur's having a really good season as a freshman, Sasha Pasajov. You know, these are some names I think are pretty much guarantees to make it. And it's looking like a pretty good and young roster. Like, some of these guys are going to be able to come back and play next season too. You know, like Cooley's obviously, you know, 4, so he's got, you know, multiple seasons to come back, and I think he's got a good chance to make this team. The issue really comes up in net is you have 4 goalies invited to this that have not played on this team before. Like, it's 4 new guys. You have 2 02s and 03 and 04. I would probably say that Luke Pavicic is going to be the starter with Drew Commesso backing up. That's kind of my guess. I'm guessing Dylan Silverstein is the 0-4. He's going to get the boot, and Caden Imbrico is going to be the kind of third string there. So that's kind of a quick rundown. I think this roster looks like it's something that has a legitimate chance at meddling. I wouldn't call them the favorites based on this team. I think that Russia is going to be someone that I really like this year personally. So, you know, we'll kind of have to see what happens once we get into the tournament.
And how often can you really call the U.S. favorites in World Juniors? I mean, when you're looking at Canada, they probably Bryn Breck, Shane Wright, and Connor Bedard, and a bunch of really good guys over there in Canada. So,
and
it's going to be tough.
That reminds me. Like, so Shane Wright is, I'm going to pull up his exact numbers real quick. He's off to a bit of a slower start, if you want to call it that.
So you're saying he's the Atu Ratu of this draft?
No. So right now, Shane Wright playing in the OHL has 22 points in 19 games. He's over a point per game in his draft year. Those are very good numbers. Everyone thought, you know, he had 66 points, 58 games as a 15-year-old, so everyone was ready for him to just go out and dominate, put up stupid numbers. And, you know, maybe he should, but he got off to a slow start. He's playing better, but people are trying to say, oh, this lack of growth and point production is concerning. This is not worthy of being the first overall pick. Shut the hell up. I haven't seen a lot, but I've seen a little bit of that, and I've seen it grow more and more. And that is just the dumbest shit I've ever heard. If anybody actually watched this kid play, he was already a 2A monster, and his 2A game has gotten even better. Like, he is literally impossible to play against. Like, you can't score with him on the ice. He has the puck. He's creating plays. He's still scoring over a point per game. He's going to be a Patrice Bergeron type of impact immediately. Like, literally immediately, with more offensive upside. I don't know why anybody would even try to think that this guy's not a locked-in first overall pick, making the NHL next year and being an immediate favorite for Rookie of the Year.
And it seems that all the major draft ranking outlets absolutely agree. All of them still have Shane Wright as their number one prospect coming out this year. So they're not worried. You're not worried. It's just the people out there that like to cause chaos that are worried.
Yeah. And another thing is the 04 draft class, like the 04 birth year, because like those are a lot of people last year that didn't get to play in their first season in junior. So this is their first season in the OHL and the QMJHL, the WHL. So that's a big adjustment. That's a good adjustment to make when you're a 16-year-old, because by the time you're in your draft, you know, you're like draft eligible year, you've had a year junior, you understand how things go, and you can kind of do your thing. Well, now all these guys are learning things on the fly. So this whole year is kind of struggling. Some people are going to try to think, oh, it's maybe a little bit of a weaker draft class, which is just flat out not the case. It's just some guys that haven't been able to play in the last year, you know, because of COVID. Now they're getting back on the ice, still trying to get back in the groove of things. Could you imagine just being a 16-year-old and not be able to play in any hockey games over like a 16-month span? Like, of course it's gonna lower your game. It's gonna bring you back a little bit, but once you get back up to that speed, you're gonna be just fine. And Shane Wright is still leading all those 0-4 birthdays, so it's not like he's playing at a slow rate or anything. The few people that I have seen, it's not a lot, and it usually gets dismissed, but I have seen it enough to make me mad. Like, those people need to relax.
And I'm sure as he goes up against competition in the World Juniors, it's gonna be good competition, but at the same time, they're not going to be versing, you know, 20, 21-year-olds that still play in juniors. So I think that he should have a great World Junior performance there. If we head back over to the U.S., last year we saw big performances out of the likes of Trevor Zegras and Cam York. Those are two guys that stepped up big. We're not going to get the same production out of really any of these guys that we saw from them last year. They were both, you know, miraculous players in this tournament last year. However, if there is a player or two that you could see stepping up and being the guy on this roster, who would you say that is?
It's Matty Beniers. Like, locked and loaded, he's going to be the captain of the team. Him or Jake Sanderson, those two guys are going to be the leaders in terms of production as well. They're going to be the two best players. I really think that Brett Berard is someone that is going to be on that radar too. Got this experience, and he is having a really good start to his, you know, college career right now. I think those three are really the names that you're going to be noticing the most on the ice for the USA roster.
Very nice. And I'm really hoping that Sasha Pashajov has a good season. He's a guy that later on into the recruiting process for me last year, I really took a liking to him. I know you were a big fan of him as well, so it'd be nice to see him do some nice stuff out on the ice.
I still don't understand why he wasn't a first-round pick. He is playing phenomenal in the OHL right now. He looks like he should have been a first-round pick, as I said he should have been.
Almost a goal per game right now.
Yeah.
18 goals for 21 games.
He's fucking good. He's really good.
So this is going to be an exciting young American roster to keep an eye on. But we do have some news about the Canada camp. There's a guy out there who, you know, very highly touted prospect, and He was left off.
Brant Clark, if you don't remember, he was my highest ranked skater of the 2021 draft class, you know, behind Lucas Walstedt. I would have taken him first overall if I was going skater. You know, in Buffalo's case, I would have taken Brant Clark first overall. Owen Power is playing great this year, and he's looking worthy of that first-round pick. Nothing wrong with that. But Brant Clark, through 17 games, he's got 5 goals, 18 assists, 23 points, captain the Barry Colts. His game has improved immensely. He looks better defensively. He skates a little bit better, too. Like, he's doing everything right. He looks legitimate. He's going to be on the Kings next year, locked and loaded, guaranteed. There's no chance that he's not. There is literally zero excuse for why this guy was not invited to Team Canada roster. So they played in Sudbury over the weekend, and Sudbury had actually ended up shutting things down because they had like 15 players pop up with COVID. So people were thinking, oh, maybe because they could have a possible COVID contamination. But then two officials with Hockey Canada said, nope, it has nothing to do with that. We just didn't include him on our roster. And that is just negligence. That is just stupidity. That is just someone trying to big brain move into being like, oh, I'm smarter than you. And that's the type of shit that those types of coaches in hockey are being phased out because, like, that shit just doesn't work.
Well, hey, big braining is very good for the U.S. Not having an offensive dynamo on the back end like Brant Clark on the Canadian roster definitely helps the U.S. chances. I'm very surprised. 8th overall pick last year. And like you said, the captain of the Barry Colts, I feel like wearing that C on top of being a tremendous prospect should warrant even more consideration to be on this type of team. Getting a leader in the locker room is huge.
You would think. And like, he's played incredible over his international play. He got to play in some 18 games last year with Team Canada and had 7 points for 7 games at the WJCs. That's great for a defenseman. Played for Canada Black a couple years ago, had 6 points for 5 games in that little showcase tournament thing they do. Like, there's nothing that this guy has done to say that he doesn't deserve to, like, be there. It hurts my brain thinking about what even slight possible reason there is to not include him. Like, there is none. It's horrible, horrible management.
I'm excited to see what the final roster for the Canadian team looks like. And then we can compare defensemen to Brant Clark and be like, either, okay, yeah, we get it, or most likely, what the hell are you doing?
I guarantee you the only person I will say, you know, maybe they deserve it more than him is Owen Power. Like, he's maybe the only one that deserves it more. Like, literally. I can already tell you that now.
There we go. All right, well, that's going to do it for the main segments of our show. We're going to go to a quick hockey name of the day to end it off. Oh, we were just talking about Owen Power. We got Owen Hamburger.
Hell yeah, Owen Hamburger. I literally opened up Elite Prospects and there's a newly added tab and he was just the name there for newly added. I'm like, ooh, I like this. Let's go for it. So Owen Hamburger is a 15-year-old out in Massachusetts playing for the North Suburban Wings, a 15U team. Played at Wellesley High last year. You know, shout out to you, Owen. You are obviously, you know, playing decent hockey at 15. Maybe you're a name that pops up on radars going forward. You know, you're 5'10", 161, right-handed shot defenseman. Maybe he's a name we see in the future.
That's not bad size for a 15-year-old, that's for sure.
No, not at all. Not at all.
5'10". I'm like 5'10 and a half, so he's already there.
I'm 6 foot.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. Chase, if you could hit him with an outro.
All right, as always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Patreon.
Oh, is that too early?
Yeah, you wiener. Okay, you want to support us on Patreon, we'd appreciate it, but not required. You want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast. It's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. All right, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. Then we get all the content that you need right there. Go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. Whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN. We sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.